Welcome to the Manufacturing Executive Podcast, where we explore the strategies and experiences that are driving mid-sized manufacturers forward. Here, you'll discover new insights from passionate manufacturing leaders who have compelling stories to share about their successes and struggles. And you'll learn from B2B sales and marketing experts about how to apply actionable business development strategies inside your business. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Manufacturing Executive Podcast. I'm Joe Sullivan, your host and a co-founder of the industrial marketing agency Gorilla 76, where we help B2B manufacturers grow through revenue-focused marketing programs. If you sell big-ticket, heavily engineered CapEx equipment through long, consultative sales processes, e-commerce couldn't possibly be for you, right? If you're a contract manufacturer, custom designing products for your customers, e-commerce couldn't possibly be for you. Right? If you're a manufacturer selling anything other than a low price point commodity product, e-commerce couldn't possibly be for you. Right? Well, if you stick around for this conversation, my guess is that 40 minutes from now or so, you might feel differently about any of these three scenarios. My guest today is an e-commerce expert, specifically in the B2B manufacturing sector. He's got a new definition of e-commerce for you, and a bunch of applications you might not have considered. Let me introduce him. Kurt Anderson founded an e-commerce company in 1995 that was ranked three times on the Internet Retailer Magazine Top 1000 E-commerce Companies. Kurt is the author of Stop Being the Best Kept Secret and founder of B2Btail.com, an e-commerce resource guide for manufacturers. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Joe, what an honor. What a privilege. Thank you so much, my friend. This is awesome.
Heck yeah. It's great to have you back. We did a show together a few years ago. I don't remember what episode number it was, but I think this one's, when it's up and running, it's going to be sitting very close to number 200. So it's awesome to have you back here right around the end of year four for me for hosting this podcast. So,
wow. Congratulations, man. That's quite an accomplishment, 200. So way to go.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And it's fun talking to you now after we've had the opportunity to hang out together a couple of times in person over the last few years, both at Industrial Marketing Summit. Kurt, for those of you listening, was real active in helping us kind of get the word out about the summit. And it was awesome to have you there live streaming from the event. And yeah, just to get some time to hang out with you and some of the other manufacturing names that we all see everywhere. So appreciate everything you did on that front.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you and your team at Gorilla 76, Wendy Covey, Adam Beck, everybody just did such a wonderful job. And I'm not just saying this, it was truly a magical event. The opportunity, Chris Lukey and I have been friends way before COVID, Greg Mishew, you know, and so some of our mutual friends, it was just great opportunity to see them in person, get to see you in person in action. I met, you know, most of your team at Gorilla 76 and just, you know, my hat's off to you for just, I know the amount of work and effort that you guys put into the Industrial Marketing Summit. So for what it's worth, man, it was worth every penny for me and I just loved every second of it. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it really was a blast. I had a ton of fun. It's amazing. You put on an event like that. Really, we kind of took ownership of it, the three companies that put it on, us and True Marketing and Cadenas Part Solutions. And you expect probably a whole bunch of stuff's going to go wrong the first time you take ownership of an event and put it on. And somehow nothing really went wrong at all, like just little things that nobody would have noticed. And so I feel very grateful for everybody who was a part of it because it was really a great event and excited to do it again next year. So.
Yeah, I can't wait. So hopefully I'm already signed up. So I'm already looking forward to it. I know everybody else I'm talking to, they're already psyched. And I know a lot of people that weren't there are definitely planning on going next year. So I feel that you guys have pioneered and laid the foundation for just a legacy event conference for B2B manufacturing marketers. And the word that I think you use is like, we found our home, right? We found our peeps, I think was your quote. And it was just great just being in a place where everybody's just huge advocates for manufacturing. So again, hats off to you. You guys did a great job and just looking forward for many years to come at this wonderful conference.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Kurt, let's get into the topic here. I'm excited to be talking with you again about e-commerce in manufacturing for really a lot of reasons. And the first time you and I talked about it on this show, somewhere between 2 and 3 years ago, I was just very curious because I'm like, we work with so many companies at Gorilla that are CapEx equipment manufacturers, big ticket items, or contract manufacturers who don't necessarily have a SKU, but are, you know, kind of being responsive to what their customers need and performing as a service. And so, you know, in my mind, it's like, I'm not sure this is really relevant to my audience. And when we got talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I never thought of it this way. And it just kind of spurred all kinds of ideas. So I'm glad to be back around on this topic, because I would imagine there are a lot of manufacturing leaders who are not thinking about the e-commerce opportunity given the nature of their business. And I think this is a good chance for them to stop and just kind of open their mind to what's possible that they may not have considered. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. And so let's go here. I want to kick things off. So so one thing I've changed so when people think of e-commerce, you know, what was back in the day, electronic commerce, right? Just 100 years ago. There's a new E in town. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
It's no longer electronic commerce. It's easy commerce. And so, as you know, I do tons of webinars, workshops. I do a lot of gigs with the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. So any of your listeners out there, if you're not working with or connected to your MEP of your state, I strongly encourage you to do so. But we just did a webinar last week, and it was a e-commerce workshop. When it got done, manufacturer came, we went offline and we talked. And the quote was, a customer of hers asked, why do you make it so hard to buy from you? I don't want to have to call you for a commodity item. I don't want to have to call you for tracking information. And so the thing is, it's no longer, e-commerce is really no longer a nice to have, a luxury. And again, we're going to dig into kind of dispel that myth of it's a finished good per se. It's really what I love for folks to think about is how it's easy commerce. How can you make it as easy as humanly possible to do business with you? That's what we want to be wrapping our mind around.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And when you think of e-commerce, I think you would probably think about, like you said, like an actual physical electronic transaction happening. And maybe your mind would go to companies that do sell a commodity or like high volume of some SKU, just reordering parts, things like that. And yeah, for lots of you listening, that probably is part of your business or could be a better part of your business. But thinking a little more broadly across manufacturing, what are the types of manufacturing organizations, Kurt, that tend to be the ones saying, oh, e-commerce isn't relevant to me? That's not really my world.
Yeah, great question, Joe. So I don't know, basically two types of manufacturers, right? We have our OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and then the contract custom manufacturers. So for an OEM that's making a smaller SKU, I would be Captain Obvious, but I dare to say, you know, maybe a layup, a great fit. I can go on e-commerce. I can sell these SKUs. We might dig a little bit deeper in this conversation, like those big expensive SKUs. We can dive into that in a little bit. But let's talk about those contract manufacturers, those custom manufacturers, where they're like, you know what? We're a CNC shop. We do 3D printing. We manufacture circuit boards. We make stuff for other people. Well, e-commerce isn't really a good fit for me. Let's have that conversation from two fronts. Number one, I just put out a post yesterday. I shared that story about that customer. The manufacturer said, hey, my customer just said, like, dude, like, you make it really hard to do business with you. Okay. Somebody in the comments section, a gentleman came in and said, Kurt, this really resonates. I sent in one of my suppliers for a commodity type item. I just needed a price. I went online. They had instant quote. I hit instant quote, waited. I got an automatic reply, blah, 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 waited. He's like, it's the next day. I'm still waiting. You're going to lose that customer. So a big thing in e-commerce is what's called a customer portal. And so you can set up your website with a web designer. You know, I'm a big, you know, for shopping cart platforms, not to get too deep, there's a platform called BigCommerce. BigCommerce does an amazing job with a customer portal. And what it does is it allows you to put your SKUs, those customer SKUs, into a web portal onto your website. So now your customer can just log in and buy that commodity, buy that O-ring, buy that such and such, and they can also catch tracking information. So that's one portion where you're like, well, gee, you know, is that really e-commerce? Yes, it's e-commerce because we're making it easy. It's easy commerce. And so that's on an e-commerce shopping cart platform where your customers can come in and just buy those products that they buy all the time. Okay. So that would be the first. Does that make sense, Joe? Or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's number one, is the customer portal, making it easy for your repeat buyers to buy. Okay. Let's go into the second component. That contract manufacturer, custom manufacturer, though they don't have a proprietary product per se, they all have a proprietary process. that's the silver bullet. That's the golden ticket in the e-commerce opportunity for that contract manufacturer. Almost all businesses, I don't care who you are, have that 80-20 rule, okay? 80% of your sales and profits are probably driven by 20% of your products or customers. Even if you just started with that 20%, you can even say, I've had clients that have even started smaller, okay? But if you look at your product line and you say like, hey, and I'll give you a quick story. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Great contract manufacturer. They manufacture heavy duty power strips. Just think like, you know, an outlet strip that you put, you know, so instead of like the $399, $599 that's imported that you find at a whatever retail store you go to, these are heavy duty industrial, made in USA, industrial power units, okay? Lowe's came to this manufacturer, this is way before COVID, many years ago, probably 2015, 2016. And they're like, hey, for our artificial Christmas tree displays, we would like to have a heavy duty made in USA power strip that we could put in every single one of our stores so we can plug in our artificial Christmas trees. So they're like, okay, and you make it. So it was their design. It was their UL listing. They sent out thousands of these power strips. Great product, big win for the company. Well, all of a sudden, consumers were walking into Lowe's. They were picking up that power unit. They were looking underneath. They were seeing the name of the company. They started calling the manufacturer and saying, hey, I love this. I'm a musician. I'm a such and such. I'm a contractor. I love and I want made in USA product. Could I buy one from you? And they're like, well, geez, that's not really what we do. And also we're like, hey, light bulb, the market is telling us that there's an e-commerce opportunity. So what they did is they took a handful of SKUs, they created those, and again, didn't violate anything. It was their design. It was their product. The vendor, UL listing, everything was their possession. It was their proprietary process. They now put a handful of SKUs online. Now what it did twofold. Now smaller companies, smaller B2B, even consumers could now come to their website, buy this made in USA product. And when Target, which this is a true story, when Target knocked on their door and said, hey, I see that you have this power unit. We don't need that exact one, but I need something slightly different. Hey, no problem. Send us a drawing. But because they converted the proprietary process into a proprietary product, and they didn't have to invent, they didn't invent the better new mousetrap. They just took something that they were already making and converted it. And I have several other examples, but that's just one example. So customer portal, I don't care what contract manufacturer you are, you should seriously be considering a customer portal. Secondly, this company took their proprietary process, converted it into a proprietary product, e-commerce opportunity. So those are two examples to give you there.
Yeah, those are both really great. That second point, though, is just so interesting to me. It got me thinking differently. Like, that's the one that really stuck out when we were chatting, because I'm like, how many companies out there are taking custom orders because they're a contract manufacturer, regardless of what that is, whether they're doing, I don't know, injection molding or some kind of machining or cable assemblies or whatever it might be, but they're taking some custom order and the thing they're making, it's like, can you stop for a second and say, is the thing I'm making really only relevant to who I'm making it for right now? Or are there tens or hundreds or thousands of other companies who would probably buy the same thing? And like, if you can answer, yeah, maybe, then it feels like it's worth some investigation to say, maybe I can create a standard product here and maybe I can sell it online or at least market it, maybe even not online, but figure out how to extend the way I market that product. You've already developed the process and the infrastructure to produce it one time. Is it scalable? I mean, is that kind of the mindset, Kurt, that you're recommending?
Completely. I'll share another example with you. And we talked about this recently. So a wire harness manufacturer, you know, there's a wire harness manufacturer in every corner, every city, you know, every electrical appliance that, you know, the computers we're looking at, the microphone, on, you know, the headphone, on, everything has a wire assembly, right? Ubiquitous. Well, there's a manufacturer, the wire harness manufacturer, and they were manufacturing a product called ground straps. A ground strap is, you know, everything that draws a current needs to be grounded. Otherwise, not going to be pretty, right? We're going to have that little shock. So this company was making, one of their clients, they were in the auto space, came to them and said, hey, we need ground straps. It's a commodity. It's ubiquitous. Every auto store that you go to sells them. They're everywhere, right? Multi gazillion billion dollar industry. Nothing proprietary about it. Well, they were making thousands and thousands of these ground straps per month. They had the equipment, they had the machinery, they had the know-how, they had the raw material, they had everything in place to manufacture these ground straps. So we sat there one day and I'm like, what's that person over there making? They're like, oh, well, duh, they're ground straps. I'm like, well, is there anybody else that needs a ground strap? Well, yeah, Kurt, like everything is on a planet that's grounded. So they're educating me like, you dummy, like this is a massive, massive market. I'm like, well, I'm the dumb guy in the room. I have a dumb question. You're selling thousands per month to one customer. Is there another customer on this planet that could use that ground strap? And are you violating or hurting that customer's feelings? No, we're not hurting that customer's feelings. There's nothing proprietary about it. It's a ubiquitous commodity. We have all the equipment, the raw material. Shame on us. Why aren't we making thousands of them? If you Google electrical ground straps, they're number one on Google. If you go on Amazon, they're one of the top sellers. So now they took their proprietary process and they've gone all in on this little goofy thing called a ground strap. And they're selling, you know, thousands. And it's a little small family contract manufacturer. Never had a proprietary product. Never had their own product. They didn't invent a better mousetrap. They just took what they were doing on a daily, regular basis. And let's go all in and just sell the heck out of this product. And man, I won't say every contract, but when I do my webinars, workshops, when I talk with manufacturers, they're like, oh, well, we want to do CNC, you know, or we do in plastic injection molding, like you mentioned earlier. They want to go broad. It's when you get that niche, when you get your 20%, that 10%, convert that proprietary process into that proprietary product. That's where, from my e-commerce, shamelessly from my e-commerce standpoint, that's where the magic happens.
Man, I love that so much. I just think it's such a great nugget. I hope that there are already people listening to this that can, yeah, why haven't I done this? Like, what, you know, it's even relevant in my own business. Like, I run a marketing agency and it's a completely service-based business. It's an information product, but we've started and we've said, well, we've taught 50 companies how to, over the last few years, how to develop positioning and go-to-market narrative as a manufacturer. We've developed processes for that. We've done the same with how to run an effective LinkedIn ads campaign. We've done it with a process for creating video expert explainers. It's like, why don't we package this up and sell it as on-demand content for those who don't want to hire an agency to do everything, and they can take our process and put it to use themselves. And so it's kind of a similar concept, honestly. It's like scaling your IP and your processes and being able to deliver it at scale without all the labor that comes along with doing it again every single time, right?
I agree 110%, Joe. As a marketing agency, when you start out, when you and John started years ago, you're a little bit of a contract manufacturer, you know, kind of being that CMO. Hey, we'll do a little bit of everything. Maybe we'll do some Facebook ads. Maybe we'll do a web design. Maybe we'll do this, that, the other thing. But then you really, as you've grown and matured, and I've loved following what you guys have done with your business and my respect, admiration, what you got, you know, what you've done, how you've built Gorilla 76 is just off the charts, just amazing. But I love how with humility, you've come in like, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not so good at this anymore. Or maybe we never were good at this. Let's not do that anymore. Let's refer that to somebody that we're good friends with. Let's stay in this lane. It's the exact same thing for the contract manufacturer. Exact same thing. And so you probably face the same thing with dozens of clients that you work with and hundreds that you've worked with over the years. Again, we do CNC machining, we bend metal, we cut steel, whatever that process is. And well, who do you do it for? Well, we can do it for anybody. And though they probably could, when that lead comes in, they're like, oh, you know, that we misquoted that, or that really wasn't a good project, or, you know, we're really good in auto space. Why are we monkeying around in appliances or whatever, you know, whatever the case might be. But again, if you focus on, hey, we make a widget, we make this little part that goes in this engine for auto. Well, guess what? That same part goes in a lawnmower. That same part goes into a motorcycle. That same piece goes into a such and such. That's, again, that's where the magic is. It's just laser focusing on what you're best at and then just giving it everything you've got.
Yeah, that's really great. I love it. Okay, let's take a quick break here. I want to let a couple of our strategists at Gorilla 76 tell you about something pretty cool that we're doing right now for marketing folks in the manufacturing sector. Peyton and Brendan, take it away.
So I'm Peyton Warren.
And I'm Brendan Forrest.
Twice a month, we host a live event called Industrial Marketing Live.
Right now, we have a group of 50 plus industrial marketers from a variety of manufacturing organizations that meet up digitally to learn, ask questions, network, and get smarter.
Every session has a designated topic, and one of our team members at Gorilla 76 opens up by teaching for the first half hour or so. Topics have included how to do a better manufacturing webinar, getting started with paid social on LinkedIn, how to optimize your website for conversions, creating amazing video content, and so much more.
After we break it down, we open it up to Q&A so we can help you apply all of this in your own businesses.
This is pure value, no cost, no strings attached, no product or service pitches, just a 100% unadulterated learning experience.
And on top of these live sessions, we've also opened up a Slack channel where attendees bounce ideas off each other and learn together between sessions.
We're building a true community of manufacturing marketing professionals here. So if you or someone at your company has the word marketing in his or her job title, please consider telling them about it. They can visit industrialmarketinglive.com to register.
We'd love to see you there.
Kurt, I want to transition over here to where search engine optimization fits into this. Cause I know when I was first talking to you a few years ago, I'm like, okay, Kurt's an e-commerce guy, but he's an SEO guy. And like, how do those things exactly fit together? And it's so obvious to me right now, because it's not just about you think of SEO. It's like, how do I get found for the thing I want to be found for? But the other side of it is, if you can understand how to use search engine data, you can use it as a way to identify product development opportunities, or at least that's the lens I'm seeing it through in the conversation we've been having. And so I would love to have you talk about that, because it's like, if you're really good at making this thing for this big customer and you say, well, maybe there's an opportunity to sell this to others. Well, is using data from search engines not a great way to validate that there's actual demand for it?
100%. Man, like there's so much there. So please, you know, reel me in if I get too carried away.
No, you go. I'll reel you in if I have to, but
this is where I geek out. And so for a shameless plug, Joe, I told you about my mom's favorite book, right? Stop Being the Best Kept Secret by her favorite son. So I wrote a book during COVID. It's a manufacturing e-commerce resource guide. And that's the thing, is so many folks I've worked with over the years, there's a misperception. They are widget experts. Boy, nobody knows how to make their products better than they do. Why would they know this whole online marketing, this whole thing that you and I've made a commitment to, right? That I don't know how to make their product. Why would they know my world? So the thing is, a lot of times, and maybe you face this, they put up a new website. All right, man, turn on the spigot. The orders are going to come running in. Well, guess what? It's like you just signed up for your gym membership. You've got to go into the gym to exercise, right? When you put up a new website, you're just starting. So you can't really do e-commerce without SEO, or like, you guys are paid experts, you know, content marketing. That's why you and I collaborate so well together. You've got to stop being the best kept secret. So here are a couple of examples I'll share with you. I did a workshop webinar for IMEC. IMEC is the Illinois MEP. And so we were doing a webinar, I was doing a deep dive on like keyword strategy, e-commerce, and like your keywords. Gentleman came on and he's like, well, he was down in near Champaign. Okay. And he was like, you know, hey, I want to come up for CNC in Chicago. And I'm like, well, that's awesome, but I think it's going to be pretty challenging because you're in Champaign, you're not in Chicago. It's a little misleading. And now how are you, you know, like we're going through that whole rigmarole. And so as we talked more, we're like, I mean, again, like in total respect for this gentleman. And he was like, well, I can CNC for anybody. I'm like, but the thing is, like, if you were getting a flood of leads, I mean, now you're getting potential bad leads, bad quotes, bad customers, bad relationships. When I talk to him and ask, and it's almost like that five why question. What do? Who do you make? And then also we found out he crushes it at this one little part that he makes. That's a sweet spot. And I did the 20-80 rule. He goes, well, 20% of my business is this part that I'd never heard of. And I'm like, all right, well, let's do a Google search. So we did a Google search and I'm like, dude, I'm like, there's no competition on this webpage. I'm like, so what I'm hearing, what you're telling me, if you could own that webpage, and Joe was like, and I call it Google 2005. Whenever you see a webpage, it looks like it's like from Google 2005. I tell all my clients, all my manufacturers, all the students that come through our training, this is a holy grail. You should own this page. You should be coming up on ranking within like the next 24 hours because there's nobody coming up on this. Now, for the search standpoint, how many manufacturers have a situation where like one customer, two customers, maybe three customers could change their business? So it's not like, you know, hey, I'm selling this pen and I've got to sell thousands of pens and I need a really aggressive social media. You know, like if I could attack that keyword, and that engineer at Boeing is Googling that keyword that not many people have ever heard of, but that engineer at Boeing needs that part, and I can come up on ranking for that part, that's the holy grail. That's the holy ticket. And then just to share this real quick, I was working with a ball bearing manufacturer here in New York. And so they were finding, man, it's tough coming up on ranking for ball bearing. What we were talking about with them is like creating that proprietary product line of ball bearings Now you can use Google Ads. Now you can use Google Shopping. So now I'm getting a little bit more technical, but now because they've got more specific, now you can start owning some of these search categories because they're not as competitive as the consumer goods. So anyway, I'll stop on that, but I could geek out all day on this. There's just a ton of keyword opportunity with e-commerce.
Yeah, I think it's really smart. And again, I think people think of SEO and Google Ads and just using the search engines in general. I mean, it's a marketing vehicle, right? But if you get, you can also, there's so much data there available to you about how much volume is there for this particular keyword or set of keywords, how much competition is there to rank for it, or in Google Ads Manager to be able to look at what it would the cost be to actually drive some traffic for this keyword. And so if you kind of put all this stuff together, this becomes actual market research for you and product R&D, frankly. Like, where are, should we make an investment? There, we make this thing really well and this thing and this thing. Huh, let's go see where there's actual demand. Let's go see where there's a lot of competition or not a lot of competition. And these can help you drive some of these decisions to maybe productize things that are currently more of a unique service for one customer of yours.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that's the thing is your risk is potentially putting up a web page or a couple web pages and attacking that search. And like I said, you know, some of these niche keywords, I had a client that they do forging. Okay, very broad term, forging. Well, the more I talked to them, like, oh, well, we do upset forging. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not, that's new to me. But, you know, then it was like, well, made in USA upset forging. So for a running joke, I shot a video of me talking about made in USA upset forging. It was such an uncompetitive keyword. My video was coming up number one on Google, like within 24 hours. So I just wanted to show this manufacturer of like how quickly, how fast you could come up on that potential phrase or that keyword. And when you niche down and when you focus, that's where the magic really happens is, you know, going after that target like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So let's talk about kind of shifting gears here. My agency has quite a few clients, have had many clients over the years, still have plenty that would classify themselves as like a custom machine builder. I have clients selling industrial ovens that are $1 million pieces of equipment. I've got companies selling, you know, machining centers and packaging equipment and stuff that's you wouldn't normally put in the e-commerce bucket, right? It's like, no, this is custom engineered, big ticket stuff, long sales cycles, consultative sales processes, lots of different directions that you could go and ways to configure it. And so I think naturally you say e-commerce and they just are like, that. I mean, that's not relevant in my world. I think you have a different perspective on that from what I've heard. And I'm just kind of curious to hear, what would you say to those companies?
Yeah. So two things. I'm going to slide in here for a second. You know, on that keyword, so in this case, for those big ticket proprietary products, there's a great book out there. It's called $1 Billion B2B E-commerce. $1 Billion B2B E-commerce. It's written by a buddy of mine. He used to be one of our speakers when we did a lot of webinars when COVID first hit. His name is Brian Beck. And Brian, fierce advocate, if you connect with Brian on LinkedIn, does great stuff, great work. And he really, his whole book is on that basis of 250,000, 500,000, seven-figure products that are on Amazon, that are on e-commerce, that are on marketplaces. And not so much that somebody, you know, hey, I'm going to whip out the credit card and hit the buy button. But again, from a search standpoint, it's getting that product out there and on there. I was part of a big project a year ago, and it was, you know, like massive dust collectors. You know, when you go by a factory and you see this company just went online. They went online through Adobe Commerce, which used to be a Magento. These are $250,000, $500,000 pieces of equipment. They just went full-blown e-commerce. So I know, as a matter of fact, when we were at the Industrial Marketing Summit, there was a gentleman that I spent a fair amount of time with. He had a company in Cincinnati, and he was like, well, wait a minute, I'm selling $1 million pieces of equipment. I'm like, man, I'm telling you, that's where you want to be. And I'll step back to that keyword strategy again, real quick. Okay. A lot of manufacturers, what the problem is, they're thinking of themselves and their process. So again, I'm a CNC shop, I'm a forging, I have 3D print, whatever. So we're thinking that. The problem is the client is thinking of their problem. Okay. So let's say, you know, COVID's been flying around. Let's say, like, if you have COVID and you have a flu or whatever, cold, and you have a runny nose and you've never heard of a tissue before, what are you going to Google? So if you have a runny nose and I've never heard of a tissue before, what am I going to Google, right?
How to fix my runny nose.
How to stop my runny nose, right? So the problem is, as manufacturers, unfortunately, we're constantly thinking about our solution. We're thinking of our tissues and our Kleenex. Unfortunately, we're not thinking about the runny nose, okay? And so that's back to that keyword strategy. So whether it's big ticket items, small ticket items, I strongly encourage, and we get so close to what they do. Joe, like, you know, you and I can geek out about SEO. Our manufacturers, they probably don't even know what SEO stands for, right? But we eat, drink, and breathe and sleep it. So what I want to encourage our manufacturers to step back and think about the finished good. What is the, how do you stop the runny nose answer instead of being so focused on the tissue? So whether it's a big ticket item, whether you're selling something that sells for 25 cents, but you're just cranking out thousands of them, whatever it might be, think about what your customer is typing. And again, come back to your question. I don't care what the expense is. If you're selling a $2 million piece of machinery, I would get it on e-commerce.
Man, I love that. I think that's so great. And such a good point to the, you know, the runny nose example. I mean, everybody's focused on their messaging on the thing I sell, right? And how great it is and the features and benefits, and flip that around. Think about it from your customer's end. What's the problem they're experiencing? What do they need to hear? So that little nugget I love, but the bigger picture here that you're talking about, I think it's just the nature of how buyers are changing and like the way people buy. It wasn't that long ago when spending more than $1,000 on just about anything in the e-commerce setting would have sounded ludicrous to anybody. And now here you are watching clients of yours sell multi-hundred-thousand-dollar pieces of machinery. And so like, I think just having an open mindset about this and exploring it. And I think the other thing I know I've talked to you about for those big, especially the custom engineered, like, not everybody has an off-the-shelf product, right? Like, I have some clients who everything they do is custom engineered and it's all million-dollar equipment. But how about the product configurator as a lead-in? Like, talk about that a little bit as just a way to let somebody start the buying process, as opposed to saying, we can't do anything. We can't put anything on there because everything we do is custom.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. So I'm a huge, huge configurator advocate, ambassador. Our friend Chris Harrington, they offer a great configurator. Again, BigCommerce offers one. You can even put one on a WordPress website. You can get a great configurator. So what a configurator is, it's allowing your customer to come on your website and build your product, okay? I mentioned my Groundstrap client earlier. They built a configurator and hands down their best lead, one of the best lead source, best investments they've ever made. Fortune 50 companies use their configurator. It's just phenomenal. Okay. Now your super complicated clients that you're talking about, you know, the big six, seven figure pieces of machinery equipment, they could definitely push back like, hey, wait a minute, Mr. Configurator, you don't understand how complicated our process is. I totally get it. And I don't want to say that it's applicable for everybody, but man, I would encourage you, invite you, welcome you, open your mind to what a configurator could be. So let's go back to my wire harness manufacturing client. How we started before the Groundstrap thing, Joe, you work with a wire harness manufacturer. There are infinite configurations, infinite, right? Between connectors, wires, crimping, you name it, right? So, all right, how could you create a configurator? What we did years ago is we created a thing called the wire harness estimator. If you had 80 different wires going 20 different places, so on and so forth, you know, we really couldn't do that. But what we could do is allow that engineer to get a starting point and create an estimate, not a quote. So if they were creating a prototype, all right, I just need to know, is this thing going to cost me 80 cents? Is this going to cost me $8,000? Like, can you give me a ballpark? Can you get me started? So even if you back to my 80-20 rule, even if you could create a configurator that would get me, hey, can you get me 20% of the way? Can you get me 50%? You know, how far could you get me with like, all right, step one, step two, do you need a certain color? Do you need a certain size? Do you need a certain this? It's just step by step by step. And it's basically almost a survey is what it is, right? And then when you get to this point, you could say, hey, you know what? We're going to stop here, but I'm going to give you just a rough ballpark, or let's get a conversation going and maybe submit a drawing if you want to. But what you've done is you've created an opportunity of trust and engagement, and you're telling that ideal customer, hey, I have your back. I understand the process you're going through. And I have a tagline, like, how do you help that ideal buyer buy at midnight on a Friday night without having to wait for you to open up your doors on Monday morning? So if you could get me 20, 30, 50, 60% away, because you know what? My boss is on me, my supervisor. I've got to get something going quick here. And now what you've done is you've kept that ideal customer on your website, not on somebody else's.
Well, Kurt, we have touched on a lot of really great stuff here. For those who are listening right now thinking like, okay, you got my brain in motion. I've got ideas. Where do I get started? How do I start taking some steps here to maybe think about whether there's an e-commerce or an easy commerce opportunity for me, right? What advice would you have people to just sort of give them that push to get moving?
Yeah, great question, Joe. I think find those resources. You know, you and I are super active on LinkedIn. Follow folks on LinkedIn that are big brand advocates for e-commerce. I started my e-commerce business in 1995. You know, there was no social media, no Google. Google didn't even exist back then, you know? So it was just a ton of trial and error, thousands and thousands of mistakes. If you're a manufacturer just starting, you know, you can, boy, do yourself a favor, avoid those mistakes. You find folks like myself, you know, I just do training and like workshops. Connect with your MEPs, Manufacturing Extension Partnerships. They're a great resource, great partner. Connect with agencies like Joe Sullivan and Gorilla 76, of course. Even if that marketing firm, e-commerce isn't necessarily their wheelhouse, odds are they're a step away or a phone call or an email away from somebody that they can pull in. So find somebody. Find a trusted e-commerce agency that you can help. Feel free to reach out to me. I can connect them with somebody. Like I said, you're not alone. You don't need to try to pave the path on your own way there.
Awesome. Well, on that front, Kurt, what is the best way to get in touch with you and to learn more about B2B Tail and what you're doing over there?
Yeah, thanks, man. LinkedIn is a great place to find me. I'm hanging out on LinkedIn. It's Kurt with a C, C-U-R-T. You can email me. I'm Kurt, C-U-R-T at b2btail.com. You can stop by my website. I have tons and tons of resources. I have e-commerce guides. I have a live show, Manufacturing E-commerce Success, where I bring in tons of subject matter experts like yourself. I have one of your teammates coming on a couple months here, Joe. And so, you know, we just interview a ton of subject matter experts around e-commerce, big commerce, Adobe, our friend Chris Harrington at Gen Alpha. So we just try to be that trusted resource guide. So LinkedIn, my email, B2BTel, love to connect with anybody.
Fantastic. Well, Kurt, great conversation today. This is a great build on what we did a couple of years ago. If you guys are listening right now enjoyed this, go look at the episode we did together a couple of years back too. And probably better resource would be just go check out Kurt's show because he's talking about this stuff every week with all kinds of different experts around e-commerce. So yeah, appreciate you doing this, Kurt. It's always fun to catch up with you and to just kind of, I mean, I think we just share a lot of the same passions here with industrial marketing and we're approaching it from different angles, but these are always really fun conversations.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate you more than I can express. I appreciate your friendship. You know, again, going through COVID, you don't realize how much you appreciate those in-person get-togethers. And I've broken bread with you. We've had dinner together. And so it's just such a privilege. My respect and admiration for you. Just you do things the right way. You do things with integrity. You're an awesome dad. And you make everybody around you better. And I'm just blessed to be a part of it. So thank you for this opportunity today. And just thank you for being part of your world, man. It's honestly a privilege. Thank you.
Wow. You're too nice, Kurt, but I appreciate it. Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this, Kurt, once again. And as for the rest of you, I hope to catch you on the next episode of the Manufacturing Executive.
You've been listening to the Manufacturing Executive Podcast. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. If you'd like to learn more about industrial marketing and sales strategy, you'll find an ever-expanding collection of articles, videos, guides, and tools specifically for B2B manufacturers at gorilla76.com/learn. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.